Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
This Saturday, May the 27th, your best friends, the Filthy Casuals boys, are hosting a live Mario Kart 8 Deluxe tournament at the Brew Cult Bar on Sydney Road. It is $10. Mm-hmm. Is that correct?
Yes.
To get in. And yeah, you can sign up. We're going to be doing a live recording of this as well. We're going to be playing against you, the listener, and other celebrity, inverted commas, guests. Yeah, tickets are at tinyurl.com/filthycasualsmk. Guys, anything you'd like to add?
If you do want to compete, make sure you sign up on the form before the event itself begins. Mm-hmm. I believe you have to. Where is that form available? Benjamin Vanell.
So that is on the try booking description of the event. It's also on our posts about the event on Facebook. And when you say before, like as early before as you can.
Like, yeah, like do it now.
Before turning up to the venue would be great.
Yeah. We'd want to probably structure the tournament the day before the actual event. So get in quick if you want to
streak
play.
Is welcome.
Yep,
bring some orange slices down if you're feeling generous.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
We'll be there hanging out. There's video games on another screen in a different part of the bar that you can play. Bring your switches and all that stuff. It's gonna be fun. Enjoy this week's episode. Good morning, video games. Welcome to Filthy Casuals, a podcast about video games hosted by three very kind and knowledgeable boys. You have myself, Tommy Dasilob. I am but one third of the hosts. With me, as always, is one of the other third of the hosts, Ben Vanell.
Yes, the second of the three stooges. Mm-hmm. You could call us that, the three stooges.
And rounding out this dirty ass trio, we've got Adam Knox.
I am but loving. I love a butt, and I will not shy away from that true fact about my character.
You're so close to being lying down right now.
I'm really reclined. I got a
really
leg up.
Reclined.
I got one leg up, one leg down, and you don't know what the other leg's doing, let me tell you.
It's hanging low and lazy.
You look a lot like Baloo at the moment.
I've
said
Baloo
that to
before.
You before.
Oh,
yeah.
Is it from you? Okay.
I think it's something about you. It's kind of this what would you call, what angle's that? I'm bad with that stuff.
It's a slight slope.
It's an obtuse angle.
Yeah. No, that would be. Well, it depends where you'd count it as starting from.
0 degrees.
But if it was against the floor, then it would be an acute angle.
It would. Yes.
I would be an acute angle against.
Anyway,
the
you look
floor.
Like a big fat pear. Is my point. Maths be damned. I'm a language guy.
Yes.
I am always talking about how I want to do the bare minimum.
Oh,
and
nice.
And that's kind of like necessities.
You frequently get on this podcast and you just open up and you really bare all.
Yeah, I fly one of them weird planes with two backs. You know what I mean?
How a biplane?
The plane with two backs.
You know the bear with two backs.
The bear with two. How he flew that plane in...
a seaplane.
Goose Troop. What was it called?
I know for a fact nothing's called Goose
Tailspin.
Troop.
In Tailspin, he had that plane where it had two different tails and a big square of nothing in the middle.
Oh, that's right.
And I think it was for cargo purposes.
I thought we were still doing puns. I was going to say you love not using protection, i.e. going bareback.
Yep. Yeah, I'm a real ghoster. I've gotten really into Wait, is it ghosting?
It's sleuthing.
Sleuthing?
Yeah.
What?
Is the thing where you pretend like you've got a condom on and then you sneak it off.
Oh, I read an article
you can't
about that.
Sneak it off if you're pretending that you've got it on in the
first. But or you put one on and then you sneak it off. Or
miming.
Yeah.
Mime sex.
I went to Gollier just so I could learn to sleuth people.
Yeah, so it's
maybe the grossest thing you can do.
It's pretty rank, isn't it? It's removing the condom midway through sex without consent. And I had never heard of this as a practice, which I think speaks volumes to the sort of character of men that I choose to associate associate with. Mm. But I
speaks volumes to your character.
Yeah.
Sheltered.
I'm great. Hack did it on Triple J for overseas. This is the youth broadcaster here, which I'm still clinging on to listening. Yep. Flicking back and forth between Gold
FM. You are double J-ing it real soon.
Yeah, no, I'm flicking back and forth between the Gold and Oldies station with increasing regularity.
Oh, yeah. I feel like I'm going to hear a lot of stories about you of quips that Miff made the other day.
Yeah,
real
true.
Soon.
No, I'm more a limo kind of guy. That's nice. I'm going even older.
Oh, yeah.
But I had never heard of it. And since listening to that story, I happened to hear about it with my girlfriend, and she was like, "Oh yeah, that's
I happened to.
That's
she happened to bring it up in the middle of sex for some reason.
What are you doing?
There's a name for this.
it's shockingly shockingly common.
Yeah,
sleuthing. You said I thought it was called something else. Sneaking or ghosting or something like that.
Yeah,
because sleuthing is what a detective does.
Yeah,
if you're a sleuth, you're like figuring stuff out.
It's stealthing, isn't it?
Stealthing. Yeah. Right, you're right. Yeah. Yeah. Sleuthing.
Yeah. Yeah, sleuthing is like figuring something out.
That's what the girl is doing, like trying to work out why the fuck someone would do this to her.
Or maybe like in the middle, he's figured out that he hates condoms. And he's sleuthing. It's the never. If anyone ever does that, you're not allowed to listen to the podcast anymore.
Yeah, it is
the
really,
ultimate punishment.
Yeah. It is really bad. I became aware of it through that story on Hack, which I imagine is the case for maybe a lot of other people.
Yeah.
And then someone was telling me that they, since that story being on, maybe a couple of weeks after, they were fucking a guy and he did that.
And so
she goes, "Did you just take the condom off?" And he goes, "This isn't what you've heard about on Triple J."
Oh, God. Wow.
What is it then?
So, I don't know, did he, because that's the, I think the danger in reporting about anything like that is that you're then, people listening are like, hey, that sounds like a pretty cool idea.
The second Ocean's 11 came out, there were so many more casino robberies after that. And so every time they just jammed someone in a box and thought they'd get away with it.
Yeah, so you reckon Caesars was just flooded with these half-baked attempts at robbery for that weekend.
Yeah.
That would be fascinating.
A lot of people just showing up in like masks of ex-presidents.
Yeah.
And thinking that was just kind of all they needed.
But then they take the mask off halfway through.
Yeah. Like the condom thing we were talking
about.
Yeah,
exactly.
Wow. That's good.
What do you think has been more annoying for businesses in Las Vegas? The Ocean's movies or the Hangover movies?
Oh, the Hangover
movies. People trying to rob them or people just getting fucked up? Even like already a destination for that, but
I feel like
a new reverence.
Like if you got Hangover enough, you would be doing Ocean's 11 as well.
Oh, the combining them.
Yeah,
Ocean's Hangover.
Yeah,
that will happen in our lifetimes, I reckon.
Yeah. Ocean's 11 beers.
I mean, that's not that many.
It's
a few.
Yeah.
It's more than you should have, probably.
That's true.
International listeners, I imagine, in certain countries, that is considered to be a lot of beer for one night.
Yes.
I think there's many, many people in this country who would consider that number to be pre-drinks before heading out.
Indeed.
Which, let's split a slab and then go.
Absolutely, yeah. So today, a fair bit of stuff happened in the last week for us to discuss.
Yeah.
Far Cry, or Ubisoft rather, have announced that on, I believe it's 11 p.m. Friday local time.
It's on the 26th in America, I think.
Yep.
So it'll be Saturday our time, I guess.
I'm pretty sure it's late Friday here. I think it's early morning there.
Right.
But they're doing a worldwide reveal. If you go on the website, I think it automatically tells you when it is in your time zone.
Oh, yeah.
Announcing Far Cry 5, which I believe had been, people kind of knew it was happening.
I think
a lot of it leaked
out a week or two ago, like a lot of exact description of what this is.
I read about a thing that the leak happened in kind of a weird way where it's set in this town and they'd been doing research there. And the local paper had a story about this big new video game is going to be set in our town. And like not knowing that they weren't meant to put this out. And people initially thought that it was Red Dead. And then I think they did a follow-up interview with someone from the town who just went, "No, it's that game. What's it called? Far Cry." And then that became a big thing of like,
"It's that game that hates bread. What's it called? Far Cry." That's right. Have I gotten that right? I'm the mayor.
So I'm not I'm not really familiar with the franchise at all, as we talked about before. You guys are both relatively big fans of it.
I'm a big fan of 3, and I liked 1 a lot at the time as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and 4 was pretty good.
Yeah, I like them all. 3 is the best, but like even 2 is. Like was a pretty ambitious thing at the time.
I never played 2.
It's worth playing. It's very different. It's much more like actually open world.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So 5 is set in Montana.
Yes.
In the United States of America in a place called Hope County, which is like a True Detective season 1 looking sort of creepy cult people.
Yeah.
It's modern day-ish or it's at the very least within the last sort of 50 years it looks like because there's like a big modern looking silo.
They've put out at the moment is a couple of very just vague atmospheric kind of 30-second clips of like a camera sweeping across it.
And are they
empty
live
fields?
Are they live action?
They film them.
Oh, okay, right.
Yeah.
Because it's a dude running through a field and then he gets shot. And it looks like sort of like, come to Hope County sort of things.
It's like a lovely
river, but there's a dead body in it.
Yes.
And they're pretty cool.
Yeah. I thought they leaned a little bit too... Or they crossed the line into being a bit too like morbid or something, like a bit too serious.
I like that. I hope that because a tonal shift for Far Cry would be a good idea, I would say.
It seems like there's a pretty big shift between 3 and 4, just from what I've... 3 is like super bro-y. And 4's like set in Himalayas and stuff.
The main undercurrent of both of it is that it was this really over-the-top, exaggerated version of these things. And I think if they played it a little... closer to the bone, that might be really cool.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Especially in a setting that, like, part of what its appeal, I assume, will be is, like, it's gonna be an odd group of villains that you're fighting, you know, because it's probably going to be cultish hillbillies, for want of a better term.
Yeah.
Yep, yep.
And so if something's already that silly, you're best to pull back and make the rest of it serious.
Yep.
So that's totally.
Yeah.
It'll have like a... Did you guys ever watch Justified?
No.
It kind of feels like that. It's like a Kentucky backwoods kind of like Nazi hillbillies, drugs and, you know, mining and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Kind of has a bit of that feel maybe potentially.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm expecting there'll be a bit of backlash about that because people who live in those areas are always like, fucking stop doing this.
Yeah.
I'm just a guy. I work at the supermarket. Fuck you. I've never been in a cult.
Well, so yeah, that's happening. This is, I think we've got a couple of these kind of over the course of this episode, but this is kind of if you're coming on Saturday afternoon to our live thing, you know, trying to watch this reveal thing.
Yeah.
We don't exactly know what it's going to be, but they're kind of hyping it in a way where you'd expect there to be a good amount of
actual
info
footage
about the gameplay and everything like that. So we'll be discussing that presumably at the live show. So if you guys can have watched it before you come along, we can we can take the pulse of the crowd. I think that'd be cool to do.
And apparently the release date was leaked somewhere as well and it's going to be like September, October or something.
Oh, really? Yeah. Okay.
So it's another like quick turnaround.
That's cool. Yeah. I think that would be, like we've talked about this a bit, I would love to see that a bit more often with games.
Totally. And that's cool. Apparently you're going to be a cop is from that leak stuff as well.
Right.
And the idea of being a cop in the modern day in Montana in like a weird True Detective type vibe sounds fucking cool to me.
Yeah.
Timing's I'm right for that. People. Yeah. Just in terms of that first season of True Detective, people loved.
Yeah.
They've not seemed to like anything about that.
about that series
that happened in the second series. And then is that just done?
I think so.
I've heard a lot about it. It's been gone for two years.
I think the director, Cary Fukunaga, who did a lot of the first season, has just gone on to do movies and stuff, I think.
Yeah.
So I think that, I'm not sure if it's continuing.
Fair enough.
Weirdly, when we were talking about Sega games the other day, I remember having played Virtua Cop and thinking, I haven't played a game as a cop since that. And I'd love to do it. I was just thinking about how fun it would be to not
just
be like the GTA.
There's a few like undercover cop things like Sleeping Dogs, right?
And L.A. Noir, which I was, you know.
You're a cop in that.
Yeah.
I haven't played as a cop who plays by the rules before.
Right.
Mm.
What other cop games are there? Sam and Max?
Mm.
You're Driver, you're an undercover cop.
Oh, fuck, that's right. I mean, Batman's the world's greatest detective, but he's not a cop.
Yeah. He doesn't have to wear a suit.
Yeah.
What's,
yes, he does.
Well, no, he doesn't have to wear a uniform.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
That's a uniform.
That's not a cop's uniform.
Okay.
You know, detectives.
Okay.
That's how you know the detectives in the movies and the TV shows, because they're the ones that aren't wearing the uniforms.
Yeah.
That's true. That's
oh my god!
True.
It's the cop man.
How could you tell? That is an interesting thing, though. Like an idea for like an open world game where you know I don't know. Would this be fun? I'm just thinking aloud. But you're a cop, and you really have to play by the rules. Like, so how would you make that interesting?
There's a big thing at the moment on Twitch where people are watching people role play as cops in GTA 5.
Oh, okay.
I haven't watched any of it. I just saw an article about it.
Right.
People like cops.
Yeah.
And hey, man.
Like most TV shows are about cops.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, it's weird the amount
of... They're pretty hot right now. They're certainly in the news a fair bit.
Yeah. The amount of cop heavy... Battlefield Hardline, I guess, was all cops.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
And that, because I bringing that up, that came out at a real tone deaf time for it to come out.
Right, right. I mean, yeah, there's a dude. There's people that modded the New South Wales police force into GTA. Mm.
Yeah. Mm. I reckon half the people I'm playing online with are fucking cops.
Oh yeah.
They're always asking me if I can sell them weed, and I'm always like, nah, man, I ain't into that shit. But
that's
I
for
am.
Losers.
Oh, I'm real into that shit. Yeah. I love it. If you want weed. Message me at P.O. Box Crow's Nest.
Oh. Man, are you high right now?
Man, I'm always... That's my secret cap. I'm always... Cool.
Yeah, this news has inspired me to... I'm going to...
Change everything about your life. Finally.
A real tonal shift in how I approach life. Yeah. No, I'm going to start in on 4. I've been delaying it for a long time. I think I hear nothing but good things. I want to just kind of... be ready for this to come out and have a bit of like understanding of the series.
Crazily, yeah. I would suggest not to do that because it's the only way that it could probably not the only way, but the most likely way this is going to fuck up for me or Ben is to be way too similar to the old ones.
Totally.
Which the most recent ones have been. If you go into it cold,
okay,
you'll probably love it.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe.
It's like 4 months.
You're not great at first person shooters, are you?
No.
It might be more fun if you play... a shooter just to practice.
Yeah, okay. Maybe play like Doom or something.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. But yeah, that's the thing that I was kind of worrying about in the back of my mind. Like, they did this to Assassin's Creed.
Yeah.
Are they going to do it to Far Cry where they just keep the exact same formula and change the skin?
Yeah.
Which...
But do you not think... I mean, I know that... I've heard that as a criticism of 4 after having played 3, of people who've played 3. Do you not think having a little bit more time off in between is kind of a bit of an acknowledgement of like... Oh, okay. We really are going to kind of completely rethink
possibly,
this
but
a bit.
You would hope so, but also that new Assassin's Creed looked the same just from that one image, obviously.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
And I won't be surprised if you're climbing police radio towers or whatever.
Yeah,
or
right. Totally.
Maybe silos or some whatever, those big...
trees, I guess. There's a lot of
pylons.
Oh, yeah. I mean, at the very least, that kind of seeming tonal shift points to an overall...
Maybe.
Changing direction, hopefully.
But it could just be presentational.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So who knows?
Well, you guys have inspired me. Fuck you both. I'm going to play number 4.
I mean, it's
a
great
sheer
game.
Act of defiance.
It's really
4
fun.
Is also great. And 4 didn't make me hate 3 or anything. Yeah. So you'll probably still enjoy.
I would play 3 if I could, but it's PS3.
I saw someone comment online saying something like, God, I hope it's more like 3 because 4 sucked. It's like... They were the same.
Yeah, yeah.
They were basically the same.
I think 3 was a little more like, was having more fun than 4 was.
Yeah, sure.
4 was like a little more.
I mean, the gameplay was identical.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
And there was some stuff like in the 4 same, that was isn't it? Yeah.
That was between 4 and Primal.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. So then another thing that this kind of came out, I think, like the same day that this guy over here, this son of a bitch, he called it all those months ago. Red Dead Redemption 2 pushed back.
Yeah.
Hey, baby, like I got a magic hourglass.
What?
Yeah. And inside of that hourglass is written, Rockstar always does this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I just have to wait 1 minute to be able to see that again.
It's the opening days of our lives. But the sand gets to the end and there's a just copy of GTA 5 sitting in there underneath all the sand.
I saw a conspiracy theory thing that it makes them more pre-orders.
Oh, yeah.
Well... you do have to wonder if this happens to you all the time.
Mm.
How about you start to play it a bit more cautious when you throw those dates out?
But so that suggests that maybe they're doing it deliberately.
That's what I mean.
They're being a bit rough and ready with it, huh?
It's easy to be that. Yeah.
Yeah.
So typical kind of announcement of delay, all the stuff like we want to take our time to make it right. Like it's crazy that they even have to say that. Like there's anyone still sitting out there. Well, I guess there are people who still think that they're doing it just to spite them specifically.
Yeah.
But you knew my birthday was in September. I sent you a letter about it.
But as kind of a concession
Mr. Marston.
As a kind of a concession to that, they put out a bunch of screenshots.
Yeah.
that are all pretty vague. Like a lot of people kind of cast in shadow, but they do look really great. Again, I have no attachment to the series other than having heard from countless people that it's the best.
Yep.
not series, like one game. But yeah, this looks like totally, I guess, what you would want to be seeing.
It doesn't look bad.
Yeah.
it looks straight up Red Dead 2. Like it's here's the train again. And here is Town and Horseman. You get it, baby.
And a silhouette. We're not revealing who they are.
It's John Marston, but earlier.
Yeah.
And here he is in the woods. In the woods. Is there going to be a bear? Mm-hmm. Do you reckon there'll be a bear in the woods? I reckon there'll be a little tiny bear.
I wonder what volume of death threats they've been getting in response to the delay announcement.
Yeah.
You know, that's the thing about, you know, No Man's Sky. That was kind of very publicly like one dude being the face of it. Is it, do people bother when they know it's just a big company and they're just tweeting at an account that's probably just read by a social media manager and it's not really going to get through and
Rockstar
cause the person a great deal of distress?
Yeah.
Rockstar has a lot more goodwill towards him, I feel like, than Hello Games did.
Yeah.
Totally. And like you said, like GTA 5 was delayed by what, like 6 months or something?
I don't remember, but yeah, something like
that. It was delayed. Red Dead Redemption was delayed
everything
a little bit.
Everything since GTA 4, I think, has been...
I think even 3 was delayed a little bit because they had to cut out the two towers.
Oh, yeah.
It's weird over here as well is because all of those PS2 ones released and then were taken off shelves and then were re-released because of some controversy.
Yeah.
So it always happens. And it also happens to almost every game ever.
Yeah.
That South Park game got a release date this week.
Yeah.
And it was a year or something after the original one.
Yeah, we were talking about this off air. They had big, big booths of it at PAX when I went last year. Just some big ones, just some real big. I couldn't stop looking at it. I was like, this is the most beautiful thing, beautiful and perfect thing I've ever seen.
Did you touch them?
Yeah, I got to touch them.
Oh, wow.
I got to, anyway.
Yeah.
But yeah, that they were kind of pumping it there in a way that would suggest, hey, this is out real soon.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Apparently, because in that last season of South Park that came out, they changed a lot of it because Trump got elected.
Yeah.
I can't imagine, but maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe that's the thing that happened. Just
I wonder what it is. But you do wonder with this kind of stuff, like how much...
And it's a good thing between now and October there won't be any more developments in the Trump thing, so they won't have to change anymore.
It is weird, like the stuff being delayed, you wonder how much of it is, you know, because you hear these things and you go, oh, they fucked it and they don't have it ready. But then sometimes, and same with movies, sometimes down the line you hear that stuff's ready but it just sits there on a shelf for ages because
Mario
the person publishing it wants
that.
It. Yeah, yeah, Mario is apparently good to go from launch, but they just think it's a better window for it. Like,
yeah. And I mean, like announcing Far Cry 5, and I know that you guys don't think it looks similar, but it looks similar enough that
to Red Dead.
Yeah.
It doesn't look similar. I really don't get why you think
it's a Western. They're both
but
Westerns.
It isn't a Western.
It's a neo-Western.
But that's
it's set in the West of America.
But that isn't the way. That's a different.
It'll be a guy with a cowboy hat and a gun.
I don't reckon he'll have a cowboy hat. I think he'll have a police hat. You calling police cows?
Have you watched Justified? They all wear cowboy hats.
Have you learned everything that you know from the film, from the TV show Justified?
It's a Southwestern.
Ben watching the Eagles
police.
Play footy. Check out this Western.
It's such a weird thing to have like all the, like, no, you don't get it. You haven't seen Jag.
But it's like pine trees and hillbillies and guns.
Yeah. They're just so different to me in my head that like,
they just visually, it's the same imagery to me. It's rivers and pine trees, and
but it's sirens and
guns.
Cop cars and
yeah.
And, but whatever, who cares? But also
great way to get out of an argument without really having to admit defeat.
I'm not defeat. It's so different
visually. But it's very similar.
Trees look the same as each other. Yes,
it's set in the same part of the world.
Yeah, and but like, so that means that every rom-com in New York and every Law and Order episode,
they look similar.
The same.
That's a bad example because they kind of are.
No, but they're different genres completely is my point.
But these are the same genre.
But that's what I'm saying is that they probably won't be the same genre in terms of the story they tell or definitely the way you play it either.
Yeah, I mean, they're both shooters.
Sort of, but
and they're
very
set in the
different.
Same
but
part of the world, and they're both open world games set in that part of the world.
But one of them is 150 years earlier than the other.
Yeah, I'm just saying they look the same.
Nah, mate, I'm gonna explode.
They look the same. Like, one's modern, but they look similar.
I just don't see it, though. they look like completely different aesthetics.
I love that this is a debate that's happening about five screenshots and yeah. one 14-second video clip.
Some of them are just actual literal film. Like, we haven't even seen Far Cry 5 yet.
Anything of either of them. And this feels like it's taken up about 10 minutes of my life.
But it just, like, the way that they film the same looking, and I get it that the mountains look the same mountains. I get
he
that.
He admitted it!
But the way that you film the mountain is the important thing. The medium is the message. Baby!
I just think, like, for the same day,
yeah,
those Red Dead Redemption screenshots could be from Far Cry 5.
But, dude, like, if anyone would have been getting out of the way of stuff, it wouldn't have been Rockstar with Red Dead.
Yeah.
I bet there are a bunch of fucking people who got out of the way of Red Dead and now are going, ah, you fuckers!
Yeah.
Now
yeah,
we're not releasing our fucking game. But hey, Destiny's around then as well, which they probably want to be away from.
Yeah. Maybe that's what it is. Maybe it's just a fucking power move. Them swinging their dicks around.
Yeah, maybe, like, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
everyone else
it.
Moves their schedule and they're like, guess what, bitches?
This condom's coming off.
As well.
Sorry, that isn't funny.
They stealth the game industry.
Splinter Cell's back.
So, do you guys think that we, given that they've just sort of done this, do you think we will see any of this at E3?
Yes, but it'll be like those GTA trailers they always do where there's no actual gameplay. It'll just be like a...
Well, that was like the one we've already seen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It'll just be a longer form of that basically. Yeah. Like
so then,
2.5 minutes of...
Yeah. Maybe,
so then that's a weird time to make this
that
announcement
noise,
because
a
this
crow
is
pecking
in...
At something.
That's in like 2 weeks.
I'm going to tell you exactly what's going to happen in this trailer.
But my point is so let's say they do that. That's in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
So why announce this delay... And put those screenshots out now. Why not just hold that off and it's coming a bit later.
You
anyway,
don't want the wind out of the sails thing at a press conference.
Yeah, okay.
If they want time at like a Sony press conference, Sony is going to them, okay, but do the disappointing thing earlier because we want to have everyone feel good after our thing.
Yeah, and presumably that they will have something much more than those screenshots to show in.
They will have a video that starts with the nothing and it'll just be like and like maybe like sort of dirt. That sort of stuff.
How long is this bit going to go?
2.5 minutes. And a crow will come down and it'll sit there and then you'll hear like some clopping and then boom, wagon wheel and like that sort of bassy with trumpets that Red Dead had and people will be shooting. And then John Lovitz is going to turn out to be the main character of Red Dead Redemption 2.
Okay,
and he's going to come out and be like, I got a gun. I can't do a John Lovitz, but he's going to. Can you do a John Lovitz?
No.
I got a gun.
No, that was my John Lovitz.
Oh, really?
That was him saying, no.
Anyway, it'll look like a Western trailer and that's all we'll see.
Yeah. So, okay, enough about the Far Cry trailer. What do you think the Red Dead one's going to look like?
They're going to be so different from each other.
No, they'll be the same.
Crow, wagon wheel, old dentist.
What do you think, think will be better? Far Cry 5 or The Big Short?
Probably The Big Short artistically, but okay. I'll have more fun with Far Cry 5 because The Big Short was important.
What's better, True Detective Season 1 or The Big Short?
Oh, good question. True Detective Season 1 in parts, The Big Short as a whole.
Okay. Wow.
What's better, True Detective Season 2 or Sex Without a Condom?
Oh, well, it depends because forcing someone to watch Season 2 of True Detective is probably worse, but if you're consensually... Never mind. Let's move away from this.
Yeah, I think it's Sex Without a Condom, if it's consensual, that's an easy question.
Sex Without a Condom, if it's consensual, is way better than True Detective
because
Season
it's already
two.
Something that's great and then plus it feels better and plus consent is cool as all hell.
Yeah.
That being said, I did like Season 2 of True Detective. I just want to quickly put that on the record.
Okay.
I feel like now's the right time to get that out and address this.
Yeah. I bailed on it. I was like, it's okay. It's not as good as the first one. And then I stopped watching.
I watched episode one and went, oh, that's right. Vince Vaughn sucks. And left.
I think Vince Vaughn was good in it.
There's something about him. I always like imagine him immediately after someone yells cuck going, ugh! You know, making a noise like that and then going like, get me a coffee. He seems like that sort of a dude.
Okay. Interesting.
These bagels are fucking stale and the bagels are great.
Yeah, I can imagine him saying that exact sentence.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
Yeah. I really like Colin
Farrell,
though.
Gambling someone else's money.
Oh.
You know what I mean? Like walking up to a... Well, maybe that's just from a movie he did, actually.
Yeah,
that
Swingers.
That might be from Swingers.
Yeah.
Colin Farrell,
he's a great actor.
Yeah, I've always sort of been on the fence about him, but that kind of won me over.
Oh, right. What about the lobster?
No, yeah. I saw the lobster after True Detective. Right.
In Bruges is great.
Yeah. In Bruges, I didn't like.
Oh,
I really didn't like.
My girlfriend's favorite movie.
Mm. I got into a fight with my ex girlfriend because of In Bruges.
Oh, what? In what way?
Because I thought it sounded pretentious and didn't want to go see it. I'm ready to admit that I was wrong.
Yeah,
it does sound pretentious. You know what sounds fucking pretentious and I was going to play early and genuinely didn't because of its name was What Remains of Edith Finch.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It's a very pretentious
name. That's a weird title.
But I'm going to play it later.
Right.
Yeah. When I saw In Bruges, there was a mouse in the cinema.
Oh!
And I got to the end and I asked, I don't think this is unfair. I asked the cinema manager if we could perhaps get a refund.
Yes.
And was told
that mouse got him for free.
Wow.
How come we had to pay?
Wow.
What maybe that, maybe, wait, so you think the mouse was like sneaking into the cinema, like, was that the kid from The Witches trying to get and watch a little bit of In Bruges for free?
The mouse was like probably the cinema owner's cousin or some shit. And he lets him in for free and he doesn't want anyone to know. So he gets angry whenever anybody brings him up.
So he should have just given the refund. You're going to kick up a big stink now. There's a bloody mouse in the cinema.
Imagine trying to do the popcorn trick, except when they reach in, instead of a dick, it's your mouse.
That's not bad.
Yeah.
That's not bad at all. If they reach into the popcorn box and your dick is poking through the hole, but there's a condom on it, does that make it less bad?
I don't want to make this like a running bit.
I was hoping to cut it out.
Okay, so another thing that has leaked in the just today actually.
Oh yeah,
has been kind of an ongoing rumor for
something we've discussed before.
Yeah, the last 8 months or something, the Mario and Rabbids crossover RPG.
Yes.
Which is, today there's been like official kind of looking artwork, like a media kit kind of thing with a bunch of slides in it that shows Mario, Luigi, Yoshi and the princess holding like laser gun things.
Yeah.
And then Rabbid versions of all of them.
Yep. It had their like media rollout plan as well.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, which was, yeah, the best bit of which is July. Big surprise announcement at E3.
Yeah.
Ba-bow.
Yeah.
That is apparently, that's out on the Switch in like August, September. Mm. It's an RPG.
Yeah, okay, great.
It's an RPG.
With turn-based?
Turn-based.
Like Paper Mario kind of style?
I don't know.
Well, this is the thing. This press release thing, it has like, it says that it's 35% exploration, 65% combat.
Which is a weird way to describe a game. Is that like Dragon Age Origins?
Yeah.
Or is it like, I'm not sure what that means.
Mario and Luigi Superstar Saga or one of them probably would have been the same split, I guess, if you,
right.
But it is a weird thing like to go
those,
like.
Yeah. I feel like those games were balanced.
It's like a real Twitter bio way to describe it. Like,
yeah.
I'm 35% coffee lover, 65% poetry enthusiast.
I kind of think those games always skewed the other way. And I'll just say from the outset, that's a big thing that has made me in the more skeptical category of this game.
Yeah.
It's also two-player co-op and, the art style of it, like I've been extremely skeptical about this from day one.
Yeah.
I love Mario. I hate the Rabbids. Mm-hmm. I can't stand them. This image I think is good in that it still keeps it in the look of the Mario world.
Yeah,
like
yeah. When it's you the read rabbit Mario, showing up to Mario.
Yeah, read Mario with guns, I thought it was going to be like a those 90s like Looney Tunes things where they're wearing baggy jeans and their hats are on backwards.
Oh, that was fucking cool.
For fuck's sake, get out. it kind of keeps it, the look of it within that world. There's kind of a little bit of a screenshot that you can see that's kind of set in the Mario world that looks very bright and colourful.
Well, like the gun, it's like a bullet bill and like all that. It's like the Mario Kart, the way that that's integrated into the Mario
world.
So
the thing is, I don't love turn-based RPGs and so I keep looking at the art and I look at the screen and I go, oh, that looks fun because I'm imagining it as like a straight platformer where you just kind of run through shooting stuff. And then I remember, oh, wait, it's 65% turn-based combat, and that coupled with the inclusion of the Rabbids,
you got into Earthbound, right?
I did for a bit, but I...
And Pokemon?
Pokemon, I know, like, but those are kind of more the exceptions to the rule. Hey, maybe I'll love it.
I look forward to our Game of the Year podcast when Rabbids...
This is number one.
Mario Hatton or whatever it's called.
But I don't know. I think I do think that.
Does it have a name? Sorry.
Yeah, it's Kingdom Battle.
Yeah,
Yeah.
Mario, that makes it sound like a mobile
Mario
game.
Plus Mario Rabbids plus Rabbids Kingdom, Kingdom Battle. It
that,
does.
That
yeah.
really makes. That's the first bit where I've gone, oh, I don't know.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, but then in the positives category, I do think they have had some great Mario RPG games. The SNES one is really good. Mm. The Thousand Year Door Paper Mario is really good.
Yep.
And they've since kind of just been shoveling them out, and I don't think a lot of care
yeah.
and passion has gone into it.
But this is Ubisoft doing this one, right?
So a new studio kind of getting their hands on it and kind of having – I think it's definitely a genre of Mario game that's due for a fresh take.
Yeah.
So –
the
I mean,
Rabbids are the people to do it.
Yeah. Well,
yeah,
that's the weirdest aspect of this is that the Rabbids party games are really fun.
Yeah.
So why didn't they make a Rabbids Mario party game? Like that.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think they haven't made any of them really other than 1-2 Switch for the Switch,
yeah.
which is just a little strange.
And like the Rabbids party games were very popular. They really sell well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like so they're not necessarily very,
so
very
why
good.
Put these characters that people only like in the context of a fun party game yeah. into like a dense RPG, which even if you love the Rabbids from those other games, no one I think of that audience would be clamoring to see them, you know, in a 20-hour adventure where you're having turn-based
yeah.
combat with
yeah.
them.
They don't have any character either. Like if it's an RPG.
Well, they're little mischief makers.
I guess they're the enemy.
They're like, what do you call them?
Minions. Yeah.
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 They're just like little guys who go and fuck shit up.
Yeah.
But they do, I mean, those Mario RPG games have always had kind of weird extra characters in them that are kind of very silly yeah. and stuff. So right. tonally it kind of fits in with that. There's a, you know, there's a bunch, like the rabbit that's dressed like Princess Peach is like taking a selfie in yeah. the artwork, which is just a bit, ugh.
Nah, that's funny.
Got a lot of tood.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah. Do you not know what selfies are? That's funny.
What's a selfie?
It's like when you take a photo of yourself, you're like, selfie.
Oh, that is cool.
Yeah, yeah.
But
hopefully one of them will have a fidget spinner.
Oh, God.
Fuck. There's
quick,
so much...
Mario, touch the orb.
There's so much stuff in the little media kit that is just so cringy, like yeah. turtle shells, not anymore, yeah. or like, you know,
you can do the Harlem Mario.
The Harlem Mario.
Stop planking and start playing today, because
yeah.
we're going in prayer.
So we'll see. I still think that the very brief thing that's in there of the art direction and stuff, it does look like it yeah. does look interesting and it does appeal to me in that way, but. Yeah, everything else I'm very skeptical. But hey, I mean, if it comes out and it's just a fun little thing, I really like playing stuff on the Switch. So yeah. if it comes out and it's getting a 7-8 average, I'll probably still go in because yeah. I'm an idiot like that. But yeah, I mean, the next thing is let's, you know, all the Nintendo diehards out there are just praying that this isn't the one big surprise that Nintendo have up their sleeve
oh, God,
for E3.
Yeah.
Like if this is it, then
well, it did say surprise announcement in the media kit, so
yeah,
fucking
exactly.
hell.
We've got Retro has to be doing something right.
Yeah.
That'll be at least one surprise.
If they do reveal it.
Yeah.
Fucking hell.
Yeah.
Donkey Kong Raving Rabbids.
Maybe
that's my rabbit. Pretty good, right?
some Diddy Kong game would be good.
Yeah.
But anyway. They're not going to do any of the things that would be good, are they?
Yeah.
They're going to do something stupid.
Who knows? The Zelda was great.
Yeah,
I guess.
I'm back on board with Nintendo's abilities.
Yeah.
And Mario Kart and Splatoon, they've been nailing it lately.
They've been pretty good lately. Well, then maybe
I just have all that skepticism from the last like 5 years or
yeah.
whatever.
Yeah,
I know. It
all
is
the new Super Mario Brothers games and that sort of stuff where it's just like, oh my God, you're making
well,
some
you know,
shit
this, I was talking to someone about this today and as weird as this is for them to use Mario in this way, I still prefer this over them just over them just doing another new Super Mario Brothers 2D side-scroller.
Mario is beaten up by Nintendo every single. Mario is on every time someone comes along, they're like, "Yeah, take Mario. I'm gonna give a shit what happens to him."
Yeah,
you want to go to the Olympics in Rio?
Well,
take Mario.
Yeah,
the Sochi Winters. I don't care about corruption. Take Mario.
Yeah. Well,
Mario's
yeah.
playing golf and tennis.
The other
why didn't they bring one of those out?
I know.
Fuck, I would have loved.
The other thing is with the cover art is in this document and it's kind of weird to bring this out and Mario's front and center and it looks bright and colorful. Like if the rabbits weren't in there, it would just look like a new Mario platformer.
Yeah.
That That seems like a weird thing to bring that out. I think it's meant to be like August or September. That's a couple of months before Odyssey. You do have to wonder, you know, if you assume that the general public, you know, your person that's not kind of reading up on games, that they're a little bit dumb or whatever. Okay. Is that confusing having those two side by side? Because it doesn't look different enough to...
You'd have to be real dumb to catch up sort of dumb. Like that's that... I don't reckon that'll happen.
There's a lot of them out there.
Yeah, there's a lot of mums buying games for their kids who like genuinely like, oh, okay, I'll get the Mario
Nintendo
one.
Nintendo doesn't really care.
From a marketing point of view, you have to... I guess you just always come back to like it's just not a smart move to put two things out so close to each other that look very similar.
Yeah.
But hey,
yeah.
This is coming from a group of people who've named a podcast Filthy Casuals, of which there are dozens of other ones out there.
Yeah.
We should check in actually and see how those other ones are going.
Yeah.
If they've all stopped recording. Because we've outlasted most of them.
I hope so. We're going to outlast every podcast on the internet.
Okay.
We're the Alpha and Omega.
So last week there was a Nintendo Direct all about ARMS.
Yeah.
Which again, I think was cool timing to do this not in E3. Like it kind of gave me a bit of confidence in what they're going to whip out there because they've freed up a lot of space.
Yep.
They basically announced everything about the game that had yet to be announced. So how the single player is going to function, no real surprises there. Multiplayer in the form of, you know, regular matches but also four-player matches where you can go two-on-two and you're kind of connected to your teammate by a rope. And then like a volleyball version, a basketball version, which all look like pretty fun little kind of extra things that you can do.
Totally.
They also revealed the rest of the starting roster of the game. There's a pro skateboarder called Kid Cobra.
Yep.
There's
Bark.
My personal favorite, a robot cop.
Yes.
Hey. Now I'm watching this and I'm going, this is just fucking Red Dead Redemption 2.
Wait.
John Marston does have arms. That's true.
A robot cop and his little robot dog.
Yeah.
And the little dog is automatically controlled. He'll throw punches for you. You can use him as a trampoline. That looks awesome. And then like a, what is she? She's like a movie star called Twintel.
Yes.
Who was already,
she punched with her hair?
She punches with her hair,
yeah.
Who was already just inspired a lot of fan art on the internet. Some of it quite horrific. Yeah, a lot of little... It's weird. Nintendo have never gone
for like... What are you drawing there, Timmy? Oh, and she's getting eaten out by Bark, is she?
Well, what's that? Okay. What's that?
Oh, fisted. Sorry, he has a fist in his mouth. I understand.
What's the thing? Is it Rule 34. Within an hour of that being announced, I went, I'm going to check in on the Twintel page on Rule. Rule 34 is a thing of if it exists, there's porn about it.
Yep.
I checked it on that website.
Oh, we exist. I wonder if...
I checked in just to see how long does this take? This was announced an hour ago.
Yeah.
And there were already like 30...
Jesus.
With Nintendo, for sure. There must... Yeah. There, I don't believe in that. There must be like, do you reckon the fucking Molly Grubbs face...
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mr. Squiggle.
Yeah.
I mean, he's begging for it. He's got a big phallic nose.
Turn upside down.
Hurry up and come.
That's all the blackboard was doing. He wasn't talking about the drawing. He just wanted a sweet 69er. They announced they're doing like a global test punch.
Yes.
Which is like a demo. Timed demo,
yeah.
Which I think is a mistake.
I'm not a fan of this new thing of the timed demos. Yeah.
I think it makes sense for Splatoon because you're getting on and you're playing online and it's probably a chance for them to test their servers as well.
That's what they've done with like Street Fighter and stuff in the past.
So far with me, this game has, like, for my personal taste, it has not put a foot wrong. Like, the art style, the style of play, I just think it looks great. I'm really excited about it. I do think putting all their eggs in the basket of motion control is a bit of a concern because I know you can play it without motion control, you can play it on a pro controller.
Yeah.
But I think that if the motion control doesn't hold up,
didn't feel like it did when we played it.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, I did, but I don't. If it doesn't stack up how people want it to, and it's not compelling enough without motion control on a pro controller, I think they're fucked.
Yeah.
I think that could potentially be a big problem for them.
For a game that is based around competition,
the
motion controls have to be precise
enough. They have to be spot on.
Part of the problem with motion controls, though, and this has always been the case, is not so much whether or not they're responsive to you. It's that it's something that you've not done before, so you feel a little wonky with it anyway. So maybe it's my capability that's the issue, but that's it's still an issue that wouldn't exist if I was just using a controller.
Yeah. I mean, I played a lot of Wii Boxing and Fight Night, and like it, you had to learn the limitations of the motion control. Yeah. And then it was like learning any other like button configuration. It's just that you were throwing a punch with your hand.
That's it. I mean, you know,
I'm
motion control.
It doesn't come naturally to me.
I'm motion control.
Can I throw hugs?
Motion control has gotten a lot better in the time since then. Just even the small things of like using the Pro Controller on Zelda to aim. Yeah. I've just noticed it's gotten a lot smoother and a lot more intuitive.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
Splatoon 2 felt better than Splatoon 1.
Felt a lot better. I just think having it as a timed demo, you really... They need to win people over with this control scheme, and so give people the chance to just play it when they want and, you know, play it with someone at home and really get the grips with it.
Yep.
That's
this Saturday morning our time.
So, the first one is 10 a.m. our time. So, again, if you're coming along to our Mario Kart tournament at 4 p.m., try and get some time in if you've got a Switch, because, again, we'll put a bit of time in. I think it'll be good to talk about in terms of, I mean...
Because we're doing a live show there.
Yeah, we're doing a live episode.
But a proper, recording of an episode,
I found it good when you and I played it, Ben, but, you know, we only played it for, like, one round and, you know, there was also a lot of... Yeah, you know, you're being hurried through a booth and there's a guy standing there watching you going, isn't it great?
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Aren't you punching right now? You're punching.
I bet,
do you feel it?
I bet there's some weird psychological thing. If there's someone standing behind you going, isn't this great?
Yeah.
You think it's better than it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think that affected you too, and not cool, cold me who's had Russian spy training.
No, I like motion controlled boxing games. So
I motion controlled hugging games. I throw hugs. Hugs is what I call my right fist, by the way.
A lot of the stuff I've read about it from like they've done a bunch of like hands on events for journos where they've gotten to spend a lot of time with it.
Yeah.
I've read a lot of different ones of them. And again, it could be that same thing. They're at an event put on by Nintendo, but I'm really yet to see, you know, I'm yet to really see anyone shit on the controls. I do think, like, you know, when you did boxing on the Wii, you had the remote and then you had the nunchuck. They were different sizes and
the
different
nunchuck
weights.
Felt fucked.
You
too.
Had a cord in between. Mm. The Joy-Con both being small, where you just kind of, you literally do just form a fist around them with your hand like that. I think that is kind of a big selling point.
Yeah.
I'm excited for this game. Mm. I'm just very. I really think they've set themselves up here to potentially
fail in a big way.
I think the character design.
Maybe that's why Splatoon 2 is like a month afterwards.
Yeah.
It doesn't, you know.
The character design is really great. I think fighting games tend to have some of the better character design going around. I've never really gotten into any of them because I can't be fucked learning all the button inputs for special moves. Mm. So something like this where there's no. The learning factor is just, that what combination of arms are going to work best. Like I totally can see myself happily, if it works well, going through the whole game with all the different characters and trying to unlock everything.
Yeah.
Oh, they've also announced free DLC will be ongoing, which is good.
Yeah.
Pretty standard for a lot of things these days. But we'll have more to report on that.
Well, speaking
over
of
the weekend.
Speaking of fighting games where you learn the button combinations.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't played anything this week.
All right.
Bit of a bloody turnaround from what you were expecting.
I forgot my PIN code and it was a fucking nightmare.
I played Injustice 1. So Injustice 2 just came out. If you don't know what they are, they're fighting games that star the DC superheroes, who to me had always been the less interesting of the superheroes.
Right.
And this game made me like them.
Right.
Okay. So this is a throwback to when you were reviewing Gears of War 4 by going back and reviewing 1-3.
Yeah, luckily there's only one.
2 months.
There's only one prequel this time.
What's it called? Gods Among Us
Injustice
or something?
Injustice Gods Among Us.
Yeah.
And so the story mode is, this is the way that all those Mortal Kombat studio ones work, where it's like a film. A film is happening, a movie is taking place, and every fight scene you play out.
Oh, that's cool.
Right.
And so it means there's a lot more fight scenes than there would be if it were a real film. But it's a really engaging way of doing it. The story is a bit stupid, where apparently a lot of DC stories are like this.
I'm reading a DC graphic novel at the moment, Infinite Crisis, which is like the DC Civil War, where just everything comes together and they just fill every page with a million weird superheroes.
Yeah, great.
Different universes.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's the thing that I just fucking don't care about.
Yeah.
Whenever it's like, oh, we've traveled to another universe. Okay, who gives a fuck? Go home. This isn't real.
Yeah.
You're dreaming, essentially. Who cares?
Yeah.
Yellow Flash. Oh, it's different.
So, right. So that's what I'm reading has got like good Lex Luthor and stuff like that.
This is exactly the same.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
This is that.
Yeah.
And it was probably based on that because I've heard Infinite Crisis before and that's like one of the big.
I love, have you ever leafed through, you know what's still being printed to this day, Sonic the Hedgehog comics.
Oh, really?
And they recently they did a crossover with Mega Man where there's a lot of that going on, a lot of like just flexing of the writing going, how can we get Mega Man? What happens in Mega Man's world to send him into Sonic's world?
Right.
Just say they're down the street from each other. Who cares?
Yeah.
Just have him get on the wrong bus and end up in Metropolis.
Yeah, this is a bit of that, like Batman brings him over because Superman's evil in this world. He's like a despotic sort of, what do you call it?
Despot?
Yeah.
Dictator?
I couldn't think of a, like a dictator type, but a real scary one because he's Superman. Mm. And you go through some of the people from the normal world get pulled over, blah, blah, blah. Bit of stupid comic book story.
Yep.
But the fighting's really fun.
So there's fighting in it.
Yeah, it's a fighting
game. Sounds to me a lot like Red Dead Redemption 2.
It is a little similar to Red Dead
Redemption. They're both set in a universe.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure one of them walked past a tree at one point.
Well, there you go.
Similar. Game, set, match.
Aquaman's in Red Dead. And yeah, it was, the writing was pretty fun for most of it. It was like very bantery and that sort of stuff, which is the big thing.
I love a bit of banter.
That's what the DC films have been missing, you know. They should, well, it'd be like Batman took a quick trip down Nando's, you know. What would he be like after a couple of pints, you know?
Where's the cheeky Nando's? Where's the cheeky Nando's in this universe?
Oh, you got a green Nando's here, do you? All right. Ooh. Sinestro's working there, is he? All right. Bloody oi. Oi oi, Wonder Woman.
I would love a fighting game where you can play as all the different food mascots.
Yeah.
So you can play as the big bird from Nando's.
The Pepsi Man was in a game called Fighters Mega Mix on the Sega Saturn.
What?
Oh, really?
That's a part of my brain that I didn't need to have
Pepsi
occupied.
Who's the Pepsi Man?
Pepsi had a character for a little bit in the mid-90s that was Pepsi Man.
He's like super ripped,
isn't
he?
I think it was in Japan. Yeah, he was, and he was like the Silver Surfer.
Okay.
But he rode a wave of Pepsi.
So you'd have him, he'd have, what's his name, Fido Dido, the 7-Up guy.
Yeah, Ronnie
cool,
Mac.
Cool spot.
Yeah.
Yeah, your big obvious ones, your Ronald, your Colonel, Tony the Tiger.
Yeah.
Chester the Cheetah.
Count Chocula.
Count Chocula would be in there.
The Kit Kat Gimp.
The Gobble Doc
would be like the odd job of that game. He's so small you can't get any good hits.
The three Rice Krispies, Bubbles one.
Snap, crackle, and pop.
I always think of them as Rice Krispies because I saw all the ads in it. But
King Wheaty.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Have you watched that old? I rewatched that old ad recently because I was talking about it with someone. It's the ad where he's like chasing a kid through a wheat field.
Oh, really?
And it's kind of disturbing. It's like
Jurassic Park.
Why is this king chasing this kid through a wheat field?
Something
bad is going to happen to this kid.
Yeah, that was pre-Signs. That would have been like what would that have been a reference to? Like Field of Dreams or Children of the Corn, maybe.
Yeah,
I don't know.
That one where the plane happens? The Hitchcock one.
North by Northwest.
Yeah, North by Northwest. That's the one.
Yeah.
The little girl from the aeroplane jelly ads.
Yes.
Ooh.
Get her in there.
The aeroplane jelly from the aeroplane.
The aeroplane itself.
I like that presumably.
That's her special move.
I like that presumably this game is coming out worldwide.
Yeah.
Yet there's all these characters in there that have only ever been in Australian brand.
But that'd be sick. I'd love to have like Japanese mascots in there.
You don't know who they are and you just learn through playing.
It's the economy yak.
Oh.
He likes economy yaki, but he's a yak.
It's pretty cool. I wonder what kind of deal. Imagine
Tommy Lee Jones is just in there throwing coffees at you.
Imagine the deal that would have to kind of happen. Like, to get this on the table. Yeah. Like the kind of brokering that would have to go on between all these huge brands.
It would fall apart when you went to do like the roster screen. And
that would
everyone
would be
like, all right, well, I want to be the first one.
Yeah, yeah.
It has to be the Burger King. The Burger King is the last one.
Yep.
You remember the king from Burger King?
Yeah, he's real creepy looking.
Dougie the pizza guy.
That's Lube-mobile.
No, he's an unlock. He's DLC. So people get bored of all those characters, which, by the way, the roster now is at like 30 characters.
Yeah, yeah. But you just do ads.
So they're just all ads. Yeah. The Go-Go Mobile guy.
Yeah.
The Not Happy Jan woman.
That guy from Car City whose voice breaks when he tries to sing the Louis the Fly.
Crazy John.
Yeah.
Ken Bruce. Crazy John and Ken Bruce are a team.
And Big Kev.
Yeah.
Big Kev, yeah.
Oh, I'm excited.
Oh, this is so inaccessible.
What a treasure trove for our internet.
The T-Mobile lady, the guy from the New York ads.
Donald Trump.
David Letterman.
The M&Ms. The M&Ms would be in the actual.
Yeah, stuff. They'd be everywhere.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, Injustice is pretty good.
What a wonderful riff.
The levels are all really cool, where you can kind of interact with things in the background depending on where you're standing.
I guess it'd be closer to Mortal Kombat.
Yes,
style.
It's the same people who made Mortal Kombat.
Yeah,
and it's 2D or
it's 2D fighting, but it's 3D graphics.
Okay, right.
Yeah.
Yep.
And it's really fun. It's a very simple control system in terms of like the inputs are like left, right, cross or whatever.
Yep.
So it's not difficult to remember them.
But it's more Smash Brothers style than like a Street Fighter.
Well, no, because then there's a lot of different things you can do that are all attached to different buttons. So for example, if you hit this button at this time, you'll be able to jump up when you're knocked down, or you'll be able to throw in a little bit of your special meter to do an extra move. Yeah, exactly. It's called the tum thump. The tub thump button. Oh boy. It's pressure sensitive and you have to thump it.
So does this make you want to play number two?
Yes, I went and ordered two online.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, you could do that these days.
On the web.
You can fucking order shit online.
Yeah. What website? Give them a shout out.
I just went to Lycos.com and I Alt F9'd.
What?
I pressed Alt F9. Nothing happened, probably.
Yeah. Why are you dancing around this? You bought it off the dark web, didn't you?
I went on Silk Road. It's being used to ship 90 kilos of weed.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, because I sell weed.
Mm.
Remember from before?
Yeah, yes. Callback. Yes. Like stealthing.
Yeah. Yeah, I really like it. I think you kind of... If you're not into fighting games, but you are into like DC comics, you'd like it.
Mm-hmm. A lot of people have asked us in the past about these games.
Yeah,
and I think it's people who are very specifically into comics, not into games.
You
at
would
all.
Like it. I think it would be a 6 out of 10 animated movie as well as this game, you know? And like the story isn't great. And it's definitely not aided by the fact that it has to give you a fight every couple minutes.
Sure.
So sometimes there's just some fucking character there for no reason who's like, "Hey, Batman, fuck you!"
And then
you got to fight them as well.
But I think the appeal is that the graphics are great. Like it's the
in
best.
In two, they look incredible. In one, they look good for the time as well.
Because like think about like there's no...
Two is on the PS4 as well.
There's no,
I mean,
like,
one is on the PS4
full
as well.
3D animated DC movies.
No, I guess not.
Like they're all just 2D. The movies aren't all great. So it's like, oh, you know, we get like a very, very comic booky adaptation.
Yeah.
And this is good. Yeah. This has everything that those film adaptations of the DC stuff is missing, which is these characters being fun with each other, you know? Like Green Arrow is a bit of a bloody laugh.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. You know? Who do you play as?
I play as every character. You switch between
the
characters throughout the thing.
So
it'll be like chapter one, The Flash. And you play as the Flash for a bit, and then it takes you to another character.
Like that
the story
Smash
keeps
Brothers
going.
Story. Yeah.
I was actually just about to bring that
it
up.
It is exactly like
that's
that.
Yeah, right. I felt like, I don't know, did people not like that?
Because I fucking loved it.
I thought that was great. I thought that was the best way of unlocking all the characters was just going through that.
And having Wario just
do 50 matches. But I thought that was, the cutscenes were really good.
Yeah, the design of the level, like I thought that was awesome.
I thought that was a real shame that they got rid of that. I think if this port, apparently, which is they're holding on to for of the Wii U version for the Switch, I really hope they've put something like that in.
Mm.
I doubt they will, I thought that was really sadly missing from the from the most recent one.
Yeah.
So off the back of this, I've gotten two. By all accounts, it's the same thing and good again.
Yep.
I would recommend either or both of these games if you're into the comics or if you're into fighting games in general.
Right. Cool.
Yeah, so there was some casting news.
Mm.
The Uncharted movie apparently is going to star young breakout actor man Tom Holland.
Yeah.
As a young version of Nathan Drake.
Yeah.
The way they made it sound was that they would have an old Nathan Drake in there too.
I disagree.
Regular age.
I thought what I read it was that they're casting him now so that he can age through the franchise.
Oh.
Ah.
Yeah.
Huh.
I did not know that this was back on the cards.
Right.
Until this announcement, because I remember this first being talked about after 2 came out.
Yeah.
And I just played 2 and I was very against it because I was like, how can you make a movie of Uncharted that's better than just playing Uncharted?
Yeah.
And then plus Shia LaBeouf was attached at one point, which would have been real bad.
Yeah. I don't know, man, Indiana Jones's kid.
But then I just kind of figured, I agree with you. I don't think this seems like one of those things that's just going to...
It'll disappear again. Remember how they've been talking about that Peter Jackson Halo movie since 2004?
Yeah, it was going to be Neil Blomkamp doing it
at some point. It switched over.
And this was going to be David O. Russell and Mark Wahlberg as Nathan Drake.
Oh, wow.
This shit just doesn't...
I would have liked that.
That would have been cool.
That would have been great.
I reckon there's some studio tax dodging bullshit going on.
Oh, yeah.
There.
Yeah.
I reckon that's what these sort of movies always are.
Well, the thing is, too, like you often notice with something like this,
then
like
again, Prince of Persia happened. Sorry, I just remembered that.
Yeah, but what reinvigorates the interest in it is there being a new entrant in the franchise that they're kind of basing it on.
Yeah,
which I mean, I get. Well, there's now those spin-off ones of Uncharted that they're going to do. So I always think like there's renewed interest because it's attached to something.
Yeah,
and if there's just nothing that it gets, if there's nothing new that comes along that has that same interest, well then. You know what? It's going to... Like, you're not going to... If there hasn't been an Uncharted game in the next 10 years, you're not going to turn around in 10 years and go, hey, let's make an Uncharted game.
But Uncharted is an easy independent sell from that where it's Indiana Jones.
Totally.
They made the Tomb Raider movies.
Yeah.
You've got action. You got comedy.
Yep.
You got a bit of romance.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You got globetrotting.
You want globetrotting, baby? We got it.
I think that this iteration is the most likely to happen because they've cast a young actor who's very popular.
He's too young to play Nathan Drake.
Right. So they were inspired by the bit in Uncharted 3 where he's like 17 or whatever.
Yeah.
And so the idea is to start with him young and keep doing movies until he's grown up.
I swear to God, I read that it was going to be a prequel. Like it was going to be set before the events of the first game.
Well, it is.
Yeah.
And they're going to continue.
Yeah.
It's not like he's going to play young Nathan Drake.
Yeah.
He's playing Nathan Drake, but they're starting it when he was young.
I just don't think that sounds appealing to me.
I don't think
it'd be that young. I don't
think
it start.
I don't think it appeals to me, but I think it'll make money, and
maybe
that's what they would be.
It appeals
on.
That appeals to me more than them just trying to do the storyline of one of the games or a combination of the games.
It appeals.
I would rather watch a little kid learning how to stop himself from falling great distances with just his fingertips and experiencing his first time that a ledge that he's standing on kind of crumbles beneath him.
Yeah.
What if it's that for the whole hour and a half? I mean, if that's the case.
Fuck yeah.
That in 3D where he's doing it like, oh, he's coming out of the screen at me as he's wobbly on this platform.
Yeah, I guess. And Tom Holland seems pretty good. That dance he did to Umbrella was pretty incredible.
Yeah.
He's a good dancer.
That's the thing. He's the hot actor now. So
I haven't seen him in anything. He's like the new Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Okay.
He was good in Civil War. He was very, very charming. He was good.
He was very young. Which works for Spider-Man but doesn't for Nathan Drake. But who cares? It will probably be a
It'll
movie.
Be like young Indiana Jones. But yeah, I mean, maybe it'll never happen.
I would be surprised if it actually ended up happening.
Who's playing Sully? Who do you reckon?
I would cast... does it have to be like a young version?
Yes.
Jason Sudeikis.
Okay.
That's not bad.
Yeah.
You know,
everyone was saying Tom Hanks if it's like normal
age. If it's
Sully.
Normal age Sully, Tom Hanks.
Or Bruce Campbell from Evil Dead.
Oh, that's not bad.
I don't think I've ever seen a movie with him in it.
He's good. He is Sully. It's like they base Sully off
Okay,
him.
Right.
Yeah.
Nah, Sudeikis.
Yeah, fucking a young guy. I don't know. Or like a youngish guy. Charlie Day.
There you go.
Jason Bateman.
Yeah, okay.
There's no more horrible boss than the wide open world.
Not bad.
Adventure at every turn.
So a tagline for a movie that's kind of just referencing another movie of a different genre.
Just because there's a cast member shared.
All right, we got any bloody little questions from listeners here? I happen to know that we do.
Yes. No,
so I'm
there
just
we go.
Setting them up to knock this one
theater
out of the frack.
Of the mind.
So,
theater of the butt.
A listener who I believe is requested to be anonymous says, "Hey, gang, as podcasting is an audio medium, I thought it would be cool if you guys chatted about the sound design in video games. Apparently, current gen consoles can handle heaps more audio information, and so they can do sound design better than before. Games like Uncharted 4 have amazing sound, like it sounds different to walk on snow as compared to a tin roof. Tiny detail, but it all adds up.
I think they both sound the same as Red Dead Redemption 2. So.
Same in Rise of the Tomb Raider. The sound of the wind makes the game world feel cold. That's a bit of a... Yeah. It would also be cool to hear what your favourite soundtracks are. Oh, my vote is for Bully or Red Dead Redemption.
Yeah, same game to me. Yeah.
And even like, you know, retro sound effects, like when Pac-Man dies, you know, stuff that kind of sticks in your mind.
Yeah.
Anyway, keep Somebody up the does. Filthy work.
I guess it didn't stick
in
my
mind. Yeah, he goes, wah, 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 wah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, yeah. So what do you reckon?
He's has requested to stay anonymous with, like, normally you'd think, hey, there's some pretty incendiary stuff in here. I don't want to hear about this. What do you think of music? Now, don't attach me to this.
Yeah. Well, maybe
I've made a well-crafted email.
What if it's a
podcasts
guy...
Podcasts are an audio medium. I don't want to hear about this.
What if it's a guy who works in video game sound design?
Ah, and this is like him doing cheap market research.
Or he's works in that.
He has said his favourite, so maybe he doesn't want to have a conflict of interest.
Interesting.
Well, or she.
I just finished Prey.
Mm.
And that's got some fucked up sound problems where, like, voice tracks will play one over the other.
Sometimes
miss some shit that people are saying and the subtitles won't catch
it's
it
like
up.
Listen to this.
Yeah, a little bit.
Now it's my turn. yes.
That was the Three Stooges all refusing to go through a door at the same time.
Yeah, it just like noise bleed coming over other sound effects or voices in particular that you need to hear.
Hmm.
Other than that, it was quite nice. Like a lot of space games have a lot of the same audio.
Yeah,
just like that noise.
Yeah.
That's an alarm.
Genre to genre, you definitely do notice a lot of the same stuff happening, which is why I think when something like. Yeah, look, we've already talked about it at length. I think the sound design in Breath of the Wild is as much of a star as the graphics and the gameplay.
The dynamic score, like coming in at certain points and when you do certain things, different musical,
You know what I remember blowing me away at the time was Battlefield 1942.
Oh, yeah.
How you could hear how every gunshot was a real gunshot from someone else. And that was like really unique at the time. There wasn't this like... pad underneath of
Ratchet and Clank last year had like kind of this sort of epic kind of music playing as you were in these like big gunfights that kind of sat there and kind of contrasted really nicely with the cartoony sort of style of it all. And again, the guns, like I talked a lot at the time about how the unlocking a new gun felt interesting and was it such a big reward in a way that I don't normally get into that kind of stuff. And they each had their own sound design. They, when you hit enemies, it would make a different thing. Like the pixelator gun, I used all the way through that game, even though it was less powerful than a lot of the other ones, just because it made this great kind of 8-bit noise when you sort of hit people with it.
Right,
like I just loved hearing that sound, like just the aesthetic of that kind of kept me coming back to it, in spite of it not always being the best thing for the situation.
The PS3 had some really good sounds on its like menus, because I haven't played the PS3 in a while and I played Injustice on that.
Right.
And a little button confirmation noises are so but they're so important.
The Nintendo Switch has a fantastic like interface, and that audio stuff as well is really cool. Like we talked about at the time, the clicking the Joy-Cons in and they go...
Yeah.
The Wolf Among Us has one of my favorite scores of any game. It's a very like Vangelis, like Blade Runner-y kind of noir synth thing that matches with like the visual atmosphere perfectly. It's all very like purples and
it's very strange how the way that a score shows up in a game is so different now. Like if you compare Final Fantasy games as a good example, like how 7 and whatever would have this song that was applicable to the area always under it at all times,
totally. Much.
And now that doesn't really happen at all anymore with modern games. The music is always either comes up during a peak of action or whatever, or is like tied to a cutscene more than anything.
Yeah,
or just like,
Breath of the Wild kind of leaves you alone and in silence for the most part, but then. There are certain little towns.
There's those audio cues for like if you see a monster, or if a monster sees you, even if you're not looking at it, there's like a
and when you start like,
that
fighting.
Shit's so important. Yeah. Like in Overwatch, you can tell what's going on a little bit in like the field through audio, or in that Battlegrounds game that I was playing a little bit ago, that audio is so important to that.
Right. Because
you actually need to hear where gunfire is coming from to go, oh, fuck, there's people over there.
Right.
And Smash Brothers, like I've never been very good at it. So there's a lot to be said for the fact that when you have these four-player matches, it is just chaos.
Yeah.
And it leaves little room for doing too much kind of nuance and tactical stuff. It just did that sound when you hit someone just is satisfying hearing that big wallop. The sound design in things like Sam and Max Hit the Road was like an early one for me that I loved, like the voice acting in it and the like when you go into there's like a chain of convenience stores that all have this shitty like elevator music in them, and sort of when you solve a puzzle and it triggers like a big event across the area that you're in, there'll often be like a little sting that goes along with that.
Yeah, right.
That kind of is like a little Pavlov, like a little reward kind of thing there, where you go, oh, I did that's so cool.
Right.
I went to play Nier.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
The other day, and I didn't actually end up having, I had to leave almost immediately afterwards and didn't end up playing any of it. But when you put it in and turn it on, this is the original one for the PS3 because I was playing that, I had that plugged in again. It had a really cool opening where it was just like a black screen and this woman just screaming at someone, just going, "You fucking asshole. I can't believe you fucking did that. Oh, I'm going to go over here and wreck this thing, you dick." And it was such a, because like she was acting, it was really good voice acting.
Yeah.
And it was such a weird thing to open with. And it made me go, oh yeah, fuck yeah. Okay.
Yeah. I'm into
this. And then it played this really long sort of clip of what's going to happen in the game.
Right.
Wow.
And it was just this thing of going, oh, I'm totally sold.
Yeah. Right.
Voice acting can be so fucking important in that way.
Totally. I just had to look up what it was called, but there was a game on the PS3 that I played a little of ages ago called Sound Shapes.
Oh, yeah.
That Beck did some music for.
Right.
And so basically it was very sort of simple kind of display, 2D, but a song is kind of playing in the background and kind of ledges kind of come and go in beat with the music.
Oh.
And so you kind of have to sit and listen and really kind of learn the song and like kind of jump onto the ledges in time with the beat, and then you go onto the next screen and there's a new instrument in the track or the pace is picked up. So just, and having someone like, you know, as well known as Beck kind of doing the stuff for it, I think that was why I got interested in it initially. But it was such a interesting style of play. I mean, the kind of a rare thing where the whole gameplay is based around having to actually pay attention to the sound design.
Yeah.
I would love to see more stuff like that.
Yeah.
There was a game on on the 3DS developed by the people that make Pokemon, Game Freak. Similar thing. Fuck, what's it called? Anyway, you're a little guy with a little treble clef as a weapon.
Oh.
And all the levels are like you having to, follow the beat and jump at the right time.
It was like Patapon.
Yeah.
On the PSP where they were these little guys and go, panny, 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 and you have to do it in Crypt of the Necrodancer. I know it was a game that came out and was that I haven't played it.
Right. Thumper apparently is very good.
Which one?
Thumper.
Yeah. Oh, Thumper's fucking sick.
Yeah.
Is that worth going into? Because I think that's just come out on the,
the Switchy Boy.
It's,
yeah.
It's real fun.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
And it's all just like these like fucking industrial drums.
Right.
Which is really cool.
Speaking of Uncharted before, the Uncharted theme is a fantastic composition.
Yeah,
it's a weird thing that they don't use it more in 4 especially.
Yeah.
It barely shows up.
Yeah.
It's kind of strange.
The game that I was talking about before is called Harmony Knight.
And that's the music
still
is,
has their 3DS.
Music is almost a different thing to sound design where like it's super important obviously and like a lot of stuff gets away. Like good music can lift something so much higher than it actually is. I think that's what happens with the Star Wars movies is that the music for them is incredible and the movies are pretty good. But
very good.
When you add it together,
and very good music.
It knocks this extra emotional layer into you.
Yeah,
absolutely. Music can get emotions out of you like nothing else, I reckon.
Well, yeah, like I was listening to
Big butts I can.
I was listening to the soundtrack from Super Mario Galaxy the other day and just that big opening of it, this big swelling music, like took me back to I hadn't gone in on that game day and what I'd been busting to play it. I finally got it, put it in and just like hadn't played a 3D Mario in ages and just like that swelling and just that, it can take you right back to sitting there and playing it for the first time and just this sense of this epic adventure while still acknowledging that it is a little fat cartoon plumber that's in the adventure. Yeah. Like
there are certain sounds as well, like in Bioshock Infinite, the sound where you complete a quest or a mission and move to the next section. I will always remember because I think I played that on hard the first time through, and just getting to that point was such a relief. Like, I don't have to go back to the start of that area.
Individual little sound cues,
Certain little just things iconic. On menus. Like, playing Uncharted 4 after having not played anything in the franchise for a while, and just all the sounds when you hit yes on a menu kind of all being the same, kind of reminding you, oh, yeah, we're in this world. Resident Evil 4. Mm. Where you just see them going in the background and then they come at you.
Oh, do you mean the breathing guys?
The breathing guys.
You look at them in infrared to shoot their multiple hearts, those guys.
Yes, and then there's a bit of that in Last of Us as well.
Yeah, yeah.
Like those things that you kind of hear off in the distance, it's the clicking and stuff.
Those individual sounds are really important, but like sound design itself is one of those like forms of art or whatever where it kind of sucks to be in that because if you do it right, it shouldn't be noticeable.
Yeah. Totally, yeah. You know? Yeah. And that's really only
like
become...
city planning.
Yeah.
I'd say that's really only become an area of design to the level that it has in the last, I reckon around the last generation and now. Oh, PS2, I don't reckon. Yeah.
No, but it would have
been. But the thing about, the thing about the nuance of, different surfaces sounding different when you walk on them, to the extent that they are, it's like the technology is really only, I guess that's true of graphics and everything
as
well.
But the complexity of it is certainly higher.
Yeah. Yeah.
And people say, and like you said, people expect it to be there, but they don't, they're not really aware that it's there, but then if it wasn't there, it would feel empty and people would notice if it wasn't there, but they don't notice that it is there.
I remember with Halo 1, surround sound was a pretty new thing for most people, and seeing the little individual bullet cases bouncing and hearing them was like, whoa.
Yeah.
And now something didn't have that, you'd be like, this fucking piece of shit. You never go backwards.
And also if that
forwards.
Was the biggest wow thing of the game, like, you know what I mean? In terms of wow factor now, that would be so far down the list of what a game has to do to impress you with sound design.
Sure. Yeah, I don't – like, whenever they can make, like – a big fucking, some of the things in like Bloodborne and whatever have like actual genuinely like screams to them where you're like, fuck this thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, in answer to your question, no, we don't think sound design is important to a game.
No.
Fuck off and never write into us again. happy to speak for all of us on that one. Any objections?
No, I agree. Fuck all of you as a matter of fact.
Yeah.
Especially you, Leslie.
Yeah. Okay, so we better wrap it up here for this week on Filthy Casuals. This Saturday, May the 27th, 4 p.m., tickets at tinyurl.com/filthycasualsmk. Our live episode recording and Mario Kart tournament. Please register in advance. Looking forward to seeing all you guys down there.
Except you, Leslie.
Have a go of the arms, test punch, watch the Far Cry review. We'll be talking about it. We'll be, taking the pulse of the room, which will be fun. It's kind of nice that the timing's worked out. That we can throw to people on that. We're on all the socials, on Twitter, on Facebook. Send us an email, filthycasuals.pod@gmail.com.
Oh, yeah.
Thanks heaps for listening. And as we say at the end here of every episode of Filthy Casuals.
Sound designer, I barely know her. Pretty good.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.